happy and blessed. This morning I'm going to be focusing on what it means to be happy and blessed. How many of you believe that you are happy and blessed? Thank you. All right, the rest of you, by the time I've finished, we will be there right where you need to be. But we're going to look into the Word of God and discover exactly what it means to be happy and blessed. And you're going to have a chance by the time we've finished to assess for yourself whether you are happy and blessed. Is that good? All right? Okay, so let's go. Here we go. When you are blessed, you are happy. Everybody say, when I'm blessed, I am happy. And to let's try that a little bit more energy and a little bit more of masala dosa down our throat. Okay, all right. When you are blessed, you are happy. And when you are happy, you are blessed. So the two are interchangeable. Happy and blessed are two words that mean the same thing. It is a state of being, not a result of something. Very key. Happiness is a state of being. Blessedness is a state of being as opposed to a result of something. Our happiness is independent of our circumstances. Your happiness, my happiness, is independent of my circumstances. It is self-contained, meaning that regardless of what is happening to me externally, I can truly be happy and blessed internally. We can be genuinely blessed as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, this sense of happiness and blessedness comes to those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And understanding that, the very nature of happiness and blessedness is within the nature of God. And it is within His nature to bless. Here is one of the minefields of our understanding about happiness and blessedness. We believe that God doesn't want us to be happy, and that He doesn't want us to be blessed. For some reason, we believe we need to kind of appease Him and do a whole lot of stuff just so we can be happy. But I want you to understand the very nature of God is a God who is happy, and God is a God who likes to bless. Everybody say, God wants to bless me, and I am blessed. That's the first thing we need to realize, because it is the nature of God, and if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God dwells within you, hello, are you not blessed? But what do we associate blessing and happiness to? Typically, like the little video explained to us, we associate blessedness and happiness to things that we possess, own, those things that are tangible. And in as much as those things are there, those things are momentary. They bring us satisfaction. They make us happy. They might bring a smile to our face. But those things cannot be the bedrock of our blessedness and happiness. It is God's nature to bless you. From creation through to today, God has not stopped blessing you, me, and this entire world. Yes, when we look around this world, we see tremendous sorrow, we see tremendous pain, we see tremendous injustice, and there's a great cry out for mercy and for things to be changed. But if you set that aside, what you will clearly see is the blessedness of God on this earth. Are you still breathing? Do you still have breath? Check it out. Then you are blessed with life. Come on. Would you rather be comatose or would you rather be alive and breathing? You are blessed with life. God blesses His creation. It's wonderful when we look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22. This is before He created man. He, right here, is creating the animals. And it's very interesting to note this, that God says in Genesis chapter 22, He says, then God blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. The animals. So He blessed them. And what was the command? That they be fruitful and multiply. Later on, as He creates man in His own image. In the image of God, we have been created. We are not like the animals. We are far superior to them. We are the epitome of God's creation. Nowhere do we resemble a donkey, a cow, or an ape at any point. When God created you, He created you. You haven't evolved from some ape being, from some big bang or anything like that, no matter what science throws at us. It takes more faith to believe in Darwin's theory of evolution than it does to believe that God created the world. Out of nothing, He created the world. And Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them," speaking of you and me, "be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the earth, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So we see here that something happens when God blesses. When God blesses, there is a command to multiply and to be productive. Everybody say, if I am blessed, I need to be productive. Now here's something I want you to understand. God has placed within each of you the DNA and the ability to reproduce. Isn't that amazing? To reproduce biologically, to reproduce creatively, to reproduce with your hands, to do things, to be productive. God has put that within you. Why? Because that is the nature of God. And because that is the nature of God, that is the nature of blessedness in you and me. You get it? Just like God out of nothing brought something, God can give you an idea that can produce wealth for you. That within us, because we were created in the nature of God, we are blessed. Because we are blessed, we are commanded to produce and to be productive. Because it is the nature of God to be productive and to produce, we have the ability to produce and to create and to be blessed, but also to be a... You see, God created Adam and Eve not just so He could create them, but so that they could govern, they could rule, they could have dominion and be a blessing. When you are blessed, you are a productive person. The blessing of productivity is a command of God. Think about that. The blessing of productivity is the command of God. Now, what is amazing is that God has given us the will, the ability to make choices. And it is those choices that determine how productive I am or how productive I am not. But aside from my productivity, I am still. So whether you smile or not, you are still. Whether you have money or not, you are still. Whether you have good health or not, you are still. You get it. So why do we walk around like, I love Jesus so much. He's blessed me in so many ways. I understand the pressures of life. I understand the challenges of everyday living. But if we could understand how God has created us to be, rather than to be governed by what we have and don't have. I think if we have an understanding of who we are, we would be able to possess more. We are so worried about trying to possess that we compromise on who we are. We compromise on the intrinsic God value within us. And we compromise to have things that are temporal as opposed to saying, no, this is who I am. This is how God created me. And this is what I can be. Happiness is a state of being as opposed to a case of what you possess. I mean, I am just so blown out with laptops in my home. My kids say, Dad, why don't you buy yourself another laptop? I said, what for? I've got about 8 of them already. I could have a fully fledged IT office in my home. Over the years, as we've collected from Windows XP to Windows 2000 to Windows 2010 to Windows, I mean, every time they're asking you to get something better and fancier and better. I mean, there's no harm in having these things. But these things do not bring you happiness. You've discovered that, haven't you? You're wise enough to know that. I mean, there's a momentary joy of opening up. They call it nowadays the unboxing. I love that word, the unboxing. You get a new product. I remember my dad used to travel abroad when we were kids, and in those days it was a big thing to travel, and he'd go all over the world. He'd come back, and there was a certain aroma that came from his bags when he opened it. The opening, we never knew the word unboxing there. And when he opened that smell, I can still remember it, of the new toys and the clothes, that foreign smell. And as he opened it, oh, Dad, what have you got for us? The joy of that train set I was dreaming of. He unboxed, and as I opened up the box, and I'd play with it, and I'd play with it, and then I wouldn't play with it. And then I'd forget all about it. And then I think, do I have a train set? I'd like another train set, Dad. When's your next journey? You see, those things bring us momentary happiness, make us feel good momentarily, but my state of being should not be governed by my surroundings or my circumstances. If they are, who's governing who? Come on. Who's governing who? Are you getting it? So what does it mean to be blessed? The Hebrew word, verb that is used in the Old Testament when God blessed people was barak, B-A-R-A-K, which means to bless as in seen in Genesis, where God blessed them. He made them happy people. He blessed them with everything they needed, the ability to reproduce and to govern. The word blessed that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those he talked about that mourn and whatever else. On the Sermon on the Mount is from the Greek word makarios, not makarena, makarios. Although makarena can make you happy, but it's makarios that'll keep you happy, which means to be happy or blissful. But it also means a self-contained happiness. The Greeks had an island and they called it the Happy Isle. And they believed that because of the geographical location of this island and the perfect climate and the fertile soil, that anyone who lived in Cyprus had it made. That was the place to be. If you wanted to be happy, it was there. And the term they associated with the island was Makarios. And so when Jesus talked about this for a word association for the people that he was talking to, he said, listen, if you want to be blessed, it's like being on the island of Makarios, where everything you need is there. Sunshine, water, food, fertile soil. I mean, bliss. Nowadays, travel brochures sell you bliss. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed airlines always never advertise the economy class? Have you noticed that? 90% of the world travels economy, but they always advertise the first class. And we like fools saying, oh, how nice, how lovely, big bed seats, oh, 10-inch screen, I'm going with Emirates. And then you turn up and you're in this little 4x4 and it's like, where's the screen? It's right up here and you're, they missell you things. I mean, look at those ads for these fancy shirts. You see that guy in the window and he looks, and then you put it on and you think, it just doesn't go together. But they sold you a dream, which is why you thought you would be happy if you wore it. But, like you know me, I need to be happy in myself, in the way that I am and who I am. Happiness is a state of being. Blessedness is being blessed in spite of my circumstances. You are blessed whether you have money or not. Ooh. You are blessed whether you feel well or not. You are blessed whether you've had a good day or not. You are blessed because you are a child of God. For us as believers, we are blessed and happy because of what Jesus has done for us. So our happiness is not a result of our doing, but is a result of our being, what Jesus has done for us. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are happy. When you are blessed, you are also a happy person. If you love Jesus, you should be one of the happiest people on the earth. We need to shout this out in our churches. I mean, when people come to church, not here, of course, this is life, so everybody's smiling. But I've been to churches, you walk and it's like a funeral. Firstly, it's never ending. You think I'm in eternity already? When is it going to end? There's no beginning, there's no end. This must be eternity. Secondly, whatever's happening is so mournful. And the image of God is, oh, he will judge you. Think, oh God, I'm sitting in the judgment seat of God. Oh my God, God is judging me today. Oh my God, no, no, no. That is not what God was talking about when he talked about being blessed. Being blessed was having a smile on our face. Being blessed was having a sense of feeling good. Because God made us emotional human beings. He gave us emotions. He gave us muscles to smile. He gave us everything, a heart to beat, so when it gets excited, it beats harder and we feel good because more blood's pumping all over the place. Because that's what he gave us, goosebumps, so when you're happy about something, what happens? If you haven't waxed all your hair off, it stands, it's good, it feels good. God created us that way. So for starters, just look at how blessed we are. Firstly, you are forgiven. Whatever you have done, whatever you will do, could ever do, Jesus has forgiven you. He loves you and accepts you just the way you are. Guaranteed, you will not go to hell. I mean, I was in Nagpur on Friday. It was as close to hell as hell could be. It was so hot, 51 degrees. It was hot. Thank God for ACs and AC cars, but it was hot. You shall not go to hell. Eternity for you is secure. You're guaranteed a place in heaven. When you die, whenever that is, and you knock on the door, he walks in, come in, my blessed child, how are you doing? I'm not sure if I can come in. No, you're certain. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you have access to eternity. I mean, how much more blessed do you need to be? Come on. When we have a connect with Jesus, when we have a relationship on your blessings, or can you do that yourself? Let's learn a lesson from the father of faith. Abraham was a man who worshipped other gods. He was a man who had no relationship with God at all. No relationship at all. And God calls him. He says, Abram, and this is what God says to him, Abram, leave your father's home and go to a land that I will show you. Now at this point, Abraham had no relationship with God Jehovah. He was worshiping moon gods. He was worshiping every other god but the true God, Jehovah. And in his state of hopelessness, God calls him. Abraham was wise enough to respond to this supernatural voice, a literal voice that spoke to him. And he follows through. It says, Abraham, leave your father's home and go to a land that I will show you. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. I will make your name great. And I will bless all those who bless you and I will curse all those who curse you. And you, an ungodly man, a man who had no relationship with God, and you, and out of you will come a nation, and this nation will be a multitude of people. Now here's the thing about Abraham. There was everything going against him. Number one, he never knew who Jehovah was. He had no relationship. He worshipped idols and moon gods. Number two, he knew his wife was barren. He knew that he had tried for many years. Number three, he knew he was getting old. It was going to get difficult to do what he needed to do to have a baby. And in this, God calls Abraham and says, Abraham, this is what I am going to do for you. The onus was not on God, but on who? The onus was not on Abraham, but on who? On God. Abraham's circumstances did not dictate that he should have children, did not dictate that he should be wealthy. I will make you a great nation. He must have been especially puzzled about how God was going to make him into a great nation when he couldn't even give birth to one son or one daughter. How would he become a great nation? We come to God in similar circumstances. We come to God in our hopelessness. We come to Jesus when we have a relationship and find a relationship with Jesus. We came from nowhere and we enter into this place. And as soon as you make a commitment to follow Jesus, you move out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You move out of the kingdom of death into the kingdom of life. You move from a place of poverty and struggle to a place of abundance in Christ. If you have made that commitment, when we come in these same circumstances, when we are born again believers, we inherit the blessing of Abraham. And I'll explain this to you. We inherit the blessing of Abraham through Jesus. God didn't give it to us as just as an afterthought. He had us in mind when he blessed Abraham. When he blessed Abraham, he's thinking, oh my gosh, I'm thinking of the millions, I'm thinking of Ian, I'm thinking of Naomi, I'm thinking of Lydia, I'm thinking of Carlton, I'm thinking of all you guys that are going to come into the kingdom of God. I need to bless Abraham because a multitude will be blessed through him. And I'm going to send Jesus Christ on the cross. He's going to die for them. He's going to redeem them. He's going to reconnect me with them. And they will receive everything that Abraham was promised. He did it so that through the plan of redemption, we would enter into everything that God has for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, it says, in the same way Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteousness because of his faith. Everybody say faith. Because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who have put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles, that's you and me, we are not Jews, we are Gentiles, to be righteous, not because we are the children of Abraham, but because of their faith in Jesus. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed. Not just the nation of Israel. Everybody say, all nations. That means the nation of Timbuktu, it exists somewhere in Africa. Every nation in Africa, every nation in this side of the continent, every nation everywhere, however you look, whatever the color of your skin is, you will be what? Cursed? You will struggle, you will live in poverty, you will what? you will be. If God said it, we learned last time when you looked at the Word of God is true. If He says it, He has the capacity to execute it. Isn't that amazing? Have you met people that promise you things and you never believe them because you know they don't have the capacity to execute? Come to my house, I'll cook you a nice biryani. Guy, the guy can't fry an egg, he's going to cook me a biryani. You're not going to turn up for dinner, are you? Would you? But if I invite you for dinner, you come and I tell you it's going to be a good biryani. Why? Because I've served it up before and I've never disappointed you. Isn't that right? But if I told you I'm going to put on a ballet performance next Sunday for Mother's Day, put on my tutu and my finest pink shoes and dance, you would think I could do. It's not within my capacity to do that. But it is within the capacity of God to bless you. Come on. You see, the problem with us is we believe otherwise. We believe it is the capacity of God to give me a hard time. Just like my principal who gave me a hard time every time I made a mistake, or my school teacher, or my dad, or some other father figure in my life that gave me a hard time. Oh, this is so good. God proclaimed the good news to Abraham long ago. All the nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So all those that put their faith in Jesus Christ, not in Abraham, he's dead, Jesus is God. If you put your faith in Jesus, every blessing that was for Abraham is for... You see, you didn't know this, so it's hard to believe because you believe something else. You have believed what your circumstances and situations have governed and said to you. You need to change what you believe, because when you change what you believe, you can live in the blessing of God. So how do I live in the blessing of God? Number one, I've got to have a right relationship with God. I need to be in relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the source of blessing. He is the only source of blessing. Romans chapter 4, 13 says, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to the law, but on right relationship with God that comes by faith. So here's the thing. He did not bless Abraham did things. He didn't bless Abraham because he was generous. He didn't bless Abraham because he gave away everything he had. He blessed him because of his faith. What moved Abraham to listen to the voice of God was faith. Because when God spoke to Abraham, did he have a child? Did he have the capacity to have a child? Did he have, could a nation come through him? No. Everything was against him. But he said, hey, if this, whoever this supernatural being is, he didn't quite know Jehovah yet. He stepped into that relationship in faith. That faith is what brought forth the promise of God in his life. The reason why we don't enter into the promise of God is because, number one, we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship, we have no faith in Him. If we have no faith in Him, we cannot enter into the blessing of God. But when we do have right relationship with God, we can act in faith. You have what you have, not because of what you have done. I have what I have because of what Jesus has already accomplished for me on the cross. All I need to do is call it in. See, this is something we don't understand, because when you go shopping, you need to pay for your shopping. We are conditioned to pay for everything, isn't it? You're conditioned. I mean, who's going to give you anything for free? Very, 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 very few people. And if they do give it to you for free, there's some catch somewhere. The guy yesterday was selling me perfume. You're going to give me a bottle? No, he just wants to spray it on a piece of paper. Spray it on me, not the piece of paper. I mean, you're going to waste it on me. And then he wants me to buy it. He's not going to give it to me free. I'm going to have to pay for it. And even the little bit that he squirts, how about spraying me? No, he won't put it on you because you haven't bought it yet. But with Jesus, the moment we put in a relationship with him, everything that belongs to God is mine. Come on. Faith attracts the blessing of God because our faith in him gets his attention. Out of all Abraham's relatives, Abraham heard the voice of God. Faith got his attention. Faith in God is what got God's attention in Abraham. When you act in faith, God says, here's somebody I can work with. Here's somebody I can do something with. Here's somebody that can reproduce for me. Here is somebody that can be productive for me because they have faith in me. I want to encourage you, when you live your happy and blessed life, to live it empowered by faith out of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you need to have a right relationship with God. You need to have faith. And it is by obedience. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of obedience, but obedience intertwined with a relationship of love. The obedience that you and I usually understand is a stick on our butt. That is not obedience. That is fear that pushes me to do something that I really don't want to do. But obedience is a consequence of love. I listen, I obey because I love. Fear does not drive me to be obedient. There are two ways you can train a dog. You can train them by hitting them all the time, and eventually they'll respond to you and do what you want them to do. Or like our trainer taught us, he said, train them with positive reinforcements. Treats. Train the dog with treats. Our dog obeys not because we kick it, push it, shove it, hit it. It has learned to obey because it loves us. Jesus, when he talked about worshiping, he used the picture worship like a dog. In John chapter 4, when he talked to the Samaritan woman and he said, listen, worship me in spirit and truth. The word worship there, the mental picture for the people of that time, the word he used, Greek word, meant to worship like a dog, adoration. When my dog trusts me, it lies over backwards and, I'm yours. It wants my attention. When I come home, she gets my attention. You know, you've been to my home. Whether I want to give her attention or not, I've got to give it to her because she has faith in me that at some point I'm going to break and give her my attention. But if I don't give her my attention, she doesn't go off. I'm not going to jump on him next time he comes. Who does he think he is? She's at it next. 2 minutes, I walk in and out of the door and she's all over me. Faith is what attracts God. You with me? Oh, he never blessed me this time. I'm not going to do it again for him. I'm not going to lift my hands up in worship like Aaron told me to. He hasn't blessed me today. Hey, that is not faith. That is not obedience. That is, I will do things my way. Obedience out of love. God, you know what? I've had a horrible day. Coming into church on Sunday, we were fighting like cats and dogs. But God, you know what? I'm going to love you anyway. I'm sorry I blew it, but here I am. I'm going to love you and worship you. You with me? That's what makes you attractive to God. I am blessed. I am happy, even though we fought like cats and dogs just now. I'm going to be happy because when I walk out, I'm going to make up and I'm going to sort it all out and have the best Sunday afternoon we've ever had for a long time. Not that we did fight like cats and dogs. That was just an illustration. All right, everybody, just get it right. So obedience to Jesus and his word. I tell you the truth, Jesus says in John 14. Anyone who believes in who? In me, in Jesus, will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Jesus is about to leave. And he says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, obey my... You didn't say, listen, obey me. Come here. Sit. Jump. He said, if you love me, obey my commands. Simple as that. Our obedience to God is an act of love. Everybody say that. My obedience to God is an act of love. That is so liberating. Because where there is love, there is no fear. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 22 says, be careful to obey these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Never letting go. Faith in Jesus, and by being obedient to him, we can live in blessedness. Faith in his word and being obedient to his word means we can walk in happiness. Like I said before, faith attracts his blessing, and obedience releases the commanded blessing of God in your life. The fourth thing you need to do to walk and live in obedience is what I have been trying to do ever since I started my message, was to renew my mind. You've got to change the way you think. Those things that don't compute with the Word of God need to be deleted. And you need to allow the Word of God. Romans 4:18 says this, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Understand this. Abraham did not spring up a child in the next 1 year. It was years after God spoke to him and a journey of transformation in his personal life that led to him entering into the promise of God. What do we want now? Press the app. What do I want? New iPad. Press here. Ding dong. Here's a new iPad. Yebi.com. That's what we expect. Isn't that true? But we forget the journey of faith and constant belief that we need to have in God. And for Abraham, believing that he would become the father of many nations, said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Everybody say, my faith will not weaken. My faith will not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. You see, unless you come to that point of renewing your mind and being fully confident that God is able to do in your life what he has promised you, you will never really walk in the blessedness and happiness that Jesus has for you. What are the four things we need to do? One is to have a right relationship with God. Two, we need to have faith. Three, our faith must express itself through obedience and love for Jesus Christ. And number four, we need to renew our mind. And number five, we must act upon our faith. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. These were the very same words God spoke to Naomi and I that thrust us out of the comfort of Mumbai City when we were 21, 22 years old. With a one-way ticket and every gift that we had in our little suitcase, we left this country in the promise that God had spoken to us. And I remember sitting at a church in London with very little money in our pockets en route to the U.S. because that's where we believed our blessing would be. That's where we believed our blessing would be. I'll say that again. That's where we believed our blessing would be. God just said, go to the land that I will show you. Like a good Indian, I said, it's got to be USA. Come on, all of you would have done that as well. Sitting in a chair, somebody said, tell me, what are you doing here? Oh, God spoke to us from Genesis chapter 12. We are going to the United States of America because God told us to. We went to the United States of America. It was like living on ice. I mean, thin ice. But we never wavered. When somebody said to us, a very esteemed person who was looking overseeing us spiritually, said, listen, I think you need to come back to India. I said, but God told us to leave. How can I go back to India? If he's told us to leave and we had no money. I mean, do you remember, Naomi? We were living on noodles and noodles and noodles and noodles. I mean, there were oodles of noodles in our home. And there was no promise of money. There were no jobs. There was no. But God told us to leave. We were foolish enough to believe God. The next 20 years of our lives is history. But what God did in and through our lives is miraculous. Because we simply believed what God said. We refused to waver. We refused to negotiate or compromise on what Jesus had said to us. That's the very same word of God that has brought us back to India. And we will push through no matter what happens, because when God speaks, you've got to learn to listen. And when you listen, you must obey and act, because in that is the blessing of God. Amen. In that you will lack nothing. There have been times we've had no money, but we lack nothing. There have been times we've been sick, but we've lacked nothing, because we are blessed. The times when we were in emotional pain and turmoil, but we refused to accept that as our state of being, because we are happy and blessed in Jesus. That's what God has for you and me, to be happy and blessed. Do you want it? I want you to seriously think through what I've shared with you today. I trust the Word of God has spoken to you. And as we take communion, I want you to exchange any unhappiness, any wrong thinking, for the right belief in Jesus. Amen. I want you to ask God to take away your unbelief and step into faith as we share communion. He's paid the price for everything that you and I need. Every blessing that we need comes to us from the cross of Christ. I know at Easter Day, when we nail things to the cross, I know there's so many of you that have testimony of what Jesus did for you when you exchanged at the cross. Today at communion, as you go there, I want you to say, God, this week on, irrespective of my circumstances or situations, I am happy and I am blessed. Let's pray. That's what faith can do.